Good morning. Lovely to see you here, and I hope you're enjoying God's gift to us in the weather today. Welcome to the people at home as well, listening in. I'm glad you could join us. I'm going to open with some words of scripture. The first is from Ephesians, and the second is from 1 Corinthians. I'm having a bit of a Paul fest at the moment, so I hope you enjoy them. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now the prayer I've chosen today is it's one of my favourites. It's attributed to St Francis of Assisi, but there's some doubt about the authenticity of that. It was first released in about 1912 in France, and it's commonly known as the Peace Prayer. So I thought I'd open with that today. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. So join with me together in praising God with this prayer. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Amen. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I now invite Brian up. He's going to do the Bible reading for us today, as we continue in our study of Romans. And today we have a very uplifting passage, and it's our reassurance that we don't have to fight these battles with sin on our own.
Good morning, all. Beautiful prayer. And it's a great day to rejoice in the Lord. Our reading this morning is from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 30. Beginning now. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, that makes you a slave, but you receive the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Brian. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church, especially if you're listening in today as well. Special welcome to you as you're listening. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Hope if you just turn around again and say hello to the people next door to you, and just say good. Well, those at home, don't go outside and say hello to the people next door. Just turn around and say good morning. Welcome to church. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Can I encourage you, if you're not already doing it already, to bring your Bibles along to church? Unfortunately, we can't use the Bibles that are here with handing over things, but if you've got a Bible at home and it's the same sort of version that we use here, NIV 2011, please bring it along with you, or use it on your app as well, on your phones, and looking into the word, having it there in your hands as well. I will again today have the words up on the screen, but it is easier, especially in long passages like we have today, to have the scriptures actually in front of us. Well, after a long climb, Rosemary and I finally came to the climax of our journey, and this was our view over Wine Glass Bay on the east coast of Tasmania. And some of you, it's a breathtaking view, isn't it? And some of you may have already been there before. Just put up your hand if you've been there and seen the view. It's a bit of a climb. It's a bit of a way to get there, but it's worth it when you are, and looking out and taking in the view across. We took some time when we were there just to sit back and appreciate the view that was before us. Well, this morning we come to a climax of Romans, of the book of Romans, and it's the top of a long mountain climb, and it's been like climbing a mountain, hasn't it? hard at times, easy at others, and yet we're all only just a halfway through the book, so there's still 8 more chapters to go, but this chapter forms like a climax to where we are in the book of Romans. And along the way, at various stages, we've needed to take our time. I know I have, to watch our step, to get a grip of where we're up to, what we're hearing, before we move on to the next stage. Those of us in Bible study have been going over the passages, understanding and taking Paul's theology deeply into our understanding. There have been stages in the climb where we've found it very awkward and uncomfortable. We've been challenged. And other times we've found it exciting, exhilarating, and quite moving. Sometimes we've been able to stop and take a breath and be encouraged by how far we've actually come and what we've learnt about God, our relationship with him, and just take the time out to appreciate the view, so to speak, back over the 8 chapters of what we've meant, what it means to actually be right with God. I hope I've been a helpful guide. But really, the one who has helped us in our understanding as we've opened his word on our climb is God himself by his Spirit. That's true every time we open God's word to read it and live by it. And today, we hear more of him in our climb. He's the quiet, unseen achiever. He is our help, not wanting the glory, but it all going to Jesus. And he's there, and he's our help in our struggle with sin in particular and life in general. So let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You speak to us through your word. and your Spirit uses your word to guide us into truth concerning yourself, our relationship with you and our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the world, but not of the world. I pray again, Father, that you will guide us and encourage us today. Teach us old truths from your word and new truths, but encourage us as we struggle with sin. And we thank you that you've given us a helper to keep us and remind us. And I ask now, Father God, that he'll guide me and guide us as we open the scriptures together. In his and your name we pray. Amen. Right with God through the person and work of Jesus Christ, received by faith, we are to live the right life with God. I take it that could be a summary of Paul's letter to the Romans. Right with God through the person and work of Jesus Christ, received by faith, we are to live the right life with God. Or, in the little illustration I had up there a couple of weeks ago, do butterflies behave like caterpillars? If you don't know what that means, you've missed this little sermon series, ask somebody after church what that little phrase means. Do butterflies behave like caterpillars? Like the Christians in Rome some 2,000 years ago, and all Christians down through the ages, we have been called by God to be his holy people, to live the life of God's holy people amongst ourselves and in the world that he's placed us. But how? How? And we asked last week, how when we struggle still with sin? We know we're right with God, but we know we still struggle with our sin. We serve God in a new way. We heard from Romans 7 last week. The new way of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He leads us using God's word to help us to be God's holy people. So we come to chapter 8 of Romans and we hear of him and his help. We turn with me now to that chapter in our Bibles, chapter 8 of Romans. Firstly, what the Spirit does is the Spirit points us to the completed work of Christ on our behalf. He reminds us in our struggle with sin that we are right with God. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Verses 1 through to 13. Let me read to you those verses from Romans 1, from 8 verses 1 to 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, God's way of speaking through his Spirit with his word, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are right with God. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Though we may see ourselves from our own perspective, strugglers still with sin and its temptation, the Spirit of God, whom God has given to the Christian, to you and to me, he reminds us to see ourselves from God's perspective, to appreciate the view of his new creation in us, of seeing ourselves how God sees us. No condemnation. The full requirements of the law have been met in us by Christ. Remember, we are right with God, the Spirit is saying to us as we struggle. We're not perfect, but we're being made perfect. We're holy in God's sight because of the work of Christ. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christo, in Christ Jesus. Irrespective of how we might feel, this is our standing before God. No condemnation. This is the way God sees you and God sees me. What a privilege. Our struggle with sin may tempt us to give up, but the Spirit of God in us lifts our eyes from our struggle and our failures to the completed work of Christ on our behalf and encourages on and calls us to press on. It's like a chant, I suppose. I'm trying to think of a different word than a chant, but as we take each step in our climb towards glory, he reminds us the righteous requirements of God's law have been fully met in us by Christ. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The righteous requirements of God's law have been fully met in us by Christ. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we need to hear it over and over again, for our sin blinds us and trips us up and discourages us along the way. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And as we press on, we go on with the Spirit's lead. We remember to heed his lead. We are Christians. We are God's people. We are made to live no other way but God's way, verses 5 through to 13. I haven't got it there in front of me, but verses 5 through to 13. Unlike those who are not Christians, we have the Spirit's help, and with his guidance we allow ourselves to live God's way, right with God, living according to the Spirit, not the flesh. How? Well, the Spirit, with the help of God's word, leads us as we read it and we apply it. We don't compare ourselves with those who are not Christians. Those who are not Christians do not have the Spirit of God. They live according to the flesh, every way other than God's way. But God has come to dwell in us and help us to live his way, and so we live God's way by the Spirit. Paul here is not talking about the Christian only. He's comparing us to those who are not Christians and those who are Christians. You, however, verse 9, are not in the realm of the flesh as Christians, but are in the realm of the Spirit. And that little phrase is confusing in English. You get the kind of impression that it's actually, well, if you are a Christian and if you have the Spirit, as if you can be a Christian and not have the Spirit or have to have him later. It's not that in the Greek there. It's actually saying you cannot be a Christian without the Spirit so working in your life to bring you to Christ. When you became a Christian, the Spirit of God dwelt in you and made you part of his family, belonging to him. And it's a statement that of saying it can't be possible to be a Christian and not have the Spirit of God. It's a reassuring thought to remind it of that, as if there is some specialness of having the Spirit later or more empowering of him later on. But if Christ is in you, which he is, as Paul's saying, then even though your body is subject to death and struggling with sin, remember, the Spirit reminds us, he gives us life because of being right with God. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, Spirit is reminding us, he's living in you. He will raise you one day. He will change this body as he had changed Christ's body, and he will present you before his glorious presence without fault on that great day, that resurrection. This is the work of the Spirit. This life we live now is not the life we'll live for eternity. Eternity has begun, but it's the life we will live with him is different. It's like Christ's, with the Spirit guiding that time. So secondly, he reminds us we are no longer God's enemies, deserving his wrath. This is the work of the Spirit within our lives as we struggle with sin. He reminds us that we are no longer God's enemies, deserving his wrath, but his adopted children, verses 14 to 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Or in other words, just as a part of life has got suffering and struggle, so to remember that's what Christ was like. That's what you will be like, what we will be like, but we will also share in what Christ has got as well in his glory. Isn't it wonderful to be, if we just sit back and observe this now from God's perspective, to have such that wonderful privilege of being children of God? It's just a wonderful thing of the living God. You know, we're not a friend, we're not a mate, you know, we're his beloved children. We belong to him. And it's a wonderful privilege to have that relationship with God. No longer enemies of God, but his loved, adopted into his family children. I just digress a little bit here at the moment. We're looking at adopting a new dog. Looking into her lovely eyes yesterday, it's just wonderful to know that she'll be part of our family in due time. We miss our old girl, but we're looking forward to a new little girl joining our family in due time, to be adopted and welcomed into the family, to know we have a heavenly Father and we belong to his family is a comforting truth. Able to approach our God without fear. And as his children, we are heirs with Christ also. We're assured that what Christ has received through his obedience to God's word, we too in Christ will share in the benefits he has won and received. Verse 17, that's there. Looking beyond our present struggles and sufferings, the Spirit's role in our lives is to point us not only to the past work of Christ on our behalf, but also to his present work in our lives and to the future. The quiet achiever, pointing us to the facts about who God is in Christ Jesus, giving the glory to God the Father. Right with God, the Spirit reminds us in our struggles with sin that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, verses 1 to 13. This is our standing before God. The righteous requirements of God's law have been fully met in us by Christ. We now live according to the Spirit, not to the flesh. We are no longer God's enemies, he reminds us, deserving his wrath, but his adopted children, verses 14 to 17. No longer fearful of failing God, but accepted and welcomed into our Heavenly Father's family. Safe in that home, sharing in the benefits Christ has received now and in the future. And so we come to the last of our points. This brings us to the chapter's third and final point in these verses. We have a helper, the Holy Spirit. We know the Spirit is our helper, verses 18 to 30. We experience him in his leading. The Spirit longs in us for glory, verses 18 to 25. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing, the Spirit reminds us, with the glory that's there at the end of the climb that will be revealed in us. It's all part of God's plan to show us and teach us and tell us and experience for us how much he loves us. It's part of the creation waits in eager expectation for children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of God, by the one who subjected it in hope. Why? That the creation, us itself, will be liberated from its bondage to decay, out of this suffering with sin, and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. It's okay to groan in this life as we struggle with living life God's way with sin as well. It's okay to groan. It's a reminder that we experience the Spirit of God within us. He groans. He longs for that day, one day, when he'll take us to be, and we'll be there in a place where there's no more groaning. For in this hope we're saved. We wait for it patiently. We long, the Spirit longs in us for glory. We experience him. And he also now, we experience him interceding for us. And that we, as he prays for us, to know that the Spirit of God, God is praying to himself for us, that we will conform to God's will, that we'll be what he wants us to be. This is a wonderful thing that we read in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what all to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Sometimes we just don't know what to pray. Sometimes we just feel so far away from God. And that's okay. But we know that the Spirit is interceding for us with those groans. And God hears it. And he knows exactly what we need, even if we haven't put it in our words or other words. We can be silent and know that God knows and hears. And if I've got someone praying for me, I can't think of anyone better than the Spirit of God praying for us. He longs in us for glory. He intercedes for us and he conforms us to God's will. And he reminds us that God has always been and he's always at work in us for our good. It's hard to understand that and accept that when we're going through a difficult time. And we're even encouraged by some to not even say that to others, and that's wise too, knowing what they might be going through. But the Spirit reminds us that whatever we're going through, it's for our good. And it's his job and ours to conform together as he leads us, guided by his word, to know what that will is and to know that there's good at the end of it all. Brothers and sisters, one day we will look back over our lives and our struggles and our suffering and we will say things, Trevor, why on earth were you worried about that? Why on earth were you so overwhelmed by that? Can you see what good has been as we see it from God's perspective, looking back from there? If only we could have a taste and go into the heavenly realms now and come back again, we would live differently. And that's what Paul says in Colossians. Set your minds on things above where Christ is seated. See ourselves from God's perspective and live accordingly. This is the role of the Spirit in us. We long for glory. It's okay to groan. It's okay as we to know that he intercedes for us as we struggle with our sin. He reminds us that God is still and always will be, through every circumstance of life, be working for our good. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called by God according to his purpose. For those God foreknew before the creation, he knew you, he knew me, and he's predestined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the road we're on now as we climb, being sanctified, now saved, to be made more and more like Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he's also called. And those he has called, he is also justified. You are justified. And those he's justified, brothers and sisters, he'll keep the rest of the bargain. He will glorify. Be patient, wait, draw on the Spirit's help as we go. Now saved, God is sanctifying us by his Spirit. He uses our struggle with sin to do so. Through obedience to the Spirit's lead, he makes us individually and corporately his church, children and family, more and more like Christ, conformed to the image of his Son, so to share in God's glory. In chapter 8, we come to a mountaintop in Romans. It's been a long climb. It's the apex of our journey through the letter. Now at the mountaintop, it's time to take a seat. It's time to appreciate the view as the Spirit leads us and reminds us to see all that God has done for us in Christ from his perspective, through his eyes. To consider all that God has done for us in getting us to where we are, right with God, in relationship with him through Christ. It's time now in Romans 8, in Romans, in the letter here, to take a kind of a breather and take it all in. We're not breaking the sermon series by no means, but that's the kind of spot we're at in the book of Romans. It's a time where we've got to that apex and we need to now just sit down, look back over the whole of what's happened and appreciate the view from God's perspective. And our response will be, as we ask the question in the next verse that comes along, what then shall we say in response to all of this? And that's next week when we come together, Lord willing, as God's people. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given to us your Holy Spirit. He's been there all the way along, helping us to know you, to hear your word, and to turn to Christ and to accept your Son's work on our behalf to make us right with you. He's been there helping us to have that faith to receive your work on our behalf. And now justified, saved from the wrath to come, he is now making us more and more like your Son Jesus. Lord, lead us by your Spirit that we may do so. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, through your word, as we go through the struggles of our sin in this world, groaning with you, looking forward to that day when we see God face to face. Help us to persevere and to press on, Holy Spirit. Amen.
To my willing soul. glory to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Come to a time of prayer, and I think after the sermon and that particular song, it's quite an appropriate thing to do. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. We'll join together with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now Tina will come and continue in prayer.
Oh, great God, what a wondrous God you are. Hallelujah, what a saviour. And aren't we blessed, oh God, by the power of your Spirit, your grace, your mercy and compassion. Because you are a merciful God, oh God, we come to you for our world, which is fractured, and particularly fractured with COVID-19. Sovereign God, you alone are worthy of honour, glory and praise. With you we can overcome every storm, including the global impact of COVID-19. We ask for the work of those who are seeking a vaccine for the coronavirus, the ability to solve the puzzle of this virus by wisdom and ethical solutions. Protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick, comfort the sick and those who mourn the loss of loved ones or who are living in fear of this disease. Give to all governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis. Grant to your people patience, compliance, and peace, generous and wise hearts, and that your global church will be revived in their faith during this time. Prepare us, Lord, to be your servants when the seasons change, O God, so that we can be faithful servants, tellers of your word, your hearts amongst people in this world. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they might find peace that peace which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in our world, we bring before you the persecuted. Persecuted because they love Jesus and they follow him. We bring our request for our brothers and sisters in Christ who suffer because of their faith in Jesus. May your word be available to them as they seek to grow in Jesus day by day. Today we particularly bring before you believers in Ethiopia, Kenya, South Sudan and India, who have been under particular stress and persecution of late. Keep them firm in their faith, assured of your love for them, and that their persecutors will come to know Jesus as their Saviour for themselves. And we put our trust in you because we know your work and your spirit are alive in this world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our land, a beautiful land, a land that has so much, and yet there are struggles. Loving Father, sovereign over all, thank you for your love and compassion. Thank you for our leaders and government in our land. May they look to you for guidance and wisdom in the decisions of policies and laws, that the way they may conduct themselves may be fruitful, honourable in doing so. People will be more interested in what is good for the people and not themselves, what is right and what is good. We particularly think of people who've found difficulties, especially the first peoples of this land. They are feeling alone, they are feeling frustrated, and they're desperately trying to keep their land and not be run over by big corporations and politics. We ask, Lord, that your people, those first people, may be raised in the faith of Jesus. That faithful first peoples who meet together Sunday by Sunday may be able to spread your word. Give them encouragement and help them to keep firm in their faith. May our politicians promote harmony as they work each day and work for the common good of all people in Australia, whether they're of different faiths. We ask for protection of our environment, protection for the poor, the homeless, the abused, those who suffer mental health, and people of all faiths. May this land turn to acknowledge you as God of all. And we ask that your truth may reign in this land, your truth, and the saving power of Jesus be known, and your spirit move across this land to change hearts and minds for Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're so thankful, Lord, that there are people who love you so much, willing to serve and please you, that they extend themselves and their comfortable lives to serve you in other lands and amongst others in this land. And today we bring before you our mission. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jessica, Shine and the boys' safe return to Thailand. And we pray that they will be able to settle into a harmonious routine, which they all need to do and get back into their daily lives. We ask that you would bless, guide and provide for their daily life as they seek to serve you in Thailand. And may they be encouraged as well, O God. Thank you, Lord, for the many facets of Anglicare and their service in your name. We particularly bring before you the chaplains to the police. May you give them understanding, empathy, and wisdom as they come alongside these officers, also to know when to pray with them and when they can talk about Jesus to them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our community, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this community. It is a beautiful area and we are very blessed. And we especially thank you for St Andrews. May our appreciation here at St Andrews be evident to all as we live and move in our neighbourhood. Thank you that your word is preached faithfully here. Thank you that you sent Jesus into the world, and thank you that you left us with the Holy Spirit, not leaving us alone to walk with you each day. Thank you that your Spirit lives and moves to bring others to faith in Jesus as our Saviour, as Saviour. We pray for continued healing and recovery for Lynn Clark and Max Schweitzer, continuing strength and health for Kay Woodcock and Jean Steele. And we also ask that you would give strength and continued encouragement to Graham as he seeks to serve Lynn in this difficult situation. Help to keep them all refreshed in your spirit and encouraged, O God. We ask for health, wisdom and endurance for Trevor, Rosemary, Karen Braga and our parish council as they seek to serve you here. We thank you for your Holy Spirit's role in pointing people to Christ. Let us here at St Andrews be energised with the beauty of Christ, inspired by your love, and equipped to serve and honour you each day as we walk with you in the Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is one more prayer, but Do you want to do it? Yeah.
The set prayer for today. Lord God, you declare your almighty power, chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us such a measure of your grace that running in the way of your commandments we may obtain your promises and share in your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Those who are leading services and Bible readers, there's a meeting next Sunday after church, just for a short while. Please stay behind and we can chat. If you're wishing to meet with me in prayer, next Monday is our month, not this Monday, but the following month, Monday is our monthly prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. Here in the church here. Please read your bulletin and all the news is in there.
Right, having been reminded of what God has done for us, let's remind each other and ourselves of what we believe in. Please stand. Do you believe in God the Father? God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. When Trevor was talking about
the Holy Spirit this morning, I had a vision of the armour in Ephesians 6. And I thought, yep, put it all on, let me see. There's the belt of truth. I thought, okay, I believe in the truth, so maybe that's right. The breastplate of righteousness, well, he's given me that. Feet that read the gospel of peace, yeah, okay. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I'm thinking, I don't think I'm up for this task. But then today we've been reminded we have the Holy Spirit. We don't have to have all of that just, you know, put it all on and here we go. God has given us his Spirit, which means all of that is part of what that Spirit gives us, and the belief and the trust and the faith. So I hope that you go out feeling like you have that armour on and that you're well equipped to actually carry it, because it's quite heavy, through the reassurance that we have through God, through his Son, and everything that they've done for us. So we're going out to serve our communities today. So I'll let you do this sitting down, because you've been up and down a bit this morning. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Amen.